Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Nun Ches. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Nosan es hamole berekon. We are dealing with the matnos dam, the blood applications that are taking place toward the end of the Heichal, blood applications, and the Mishnah describes he pours the full receptacle into the empty one. That's an explanation that is in truth based on the Hemshich of the Gemara. However, in the meantime, if we look at the Mishnah literally, it says he places the mole, the full one, into an empty one. Does that possibly mean he puts one vessel into the other vessel and then does the blood applications? So that is what the Gemara will be discussing. So we turn before the Gemara itself, we look at the side where we have a mivne, a structural note, and you'll see a bow tie shape, and we've indicated these are she'elos, these bow ties represent questions, sha'meshutof b'neihem, the common denominator between the questions that appear in the bow ties, she'hiniach dovor b'socha mizrok, he puts something in the receptacle that's designed for receiving the blood, v'kibel es hadam, and with the blood receptacle, in that fashion, he then receives the blood from the animal that's being slaughtered. So we turn to the Gemara. Bo mine romi bar chamo me rav chisto. Hi niach mizrok besoch mizrok v'kibel boyas adam. Imagine someone takes two receptacles, one and places one in the other, and holding it like that, receives the blood at the point of the slaughtering. Mahu, what is the din regarding this? Min bemino chotzeitz, oy eino chotzeitz. Min bemino means two substances, two items of like substance. So if we have two vessels, they're both made of the same substance, two mizrakos, two blood-receiving receptacles. Does that create a chatzitza? Chatzitza is an interposition, something that's blocking. In other words, ideally, blood, as it's being received, it should land directly into the receiving vessel without anything blocking it. In other words, if you were to, let's say, have a blood-receiving receptacle and then line it with aluminum foil, or line it with paper or leaves or some foreign substance. So that would be considered a chatzitza, an interposition. The blood is supposed to land directly into the vessel. However, let us say that you put one vessel within the other. So being that that's called min bemino. Min is a type of substance that is the same type as the other substance. So does that present a problem as, let's say, aluminum foil would have represented or not? Omar lei tenisuha. So as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice triangles that appear in different directions. So these represent attempts to resolve the question, but with different conclusions. We should note on the side that this is the title of the sugya, Hayim Min Bamino Chotzeitz, and the triangles, as you can see, represent a nisoyon lehochiach. With the triangle facing upwards, it's an attempt to show the eino chotzeitz, that it does not present a problem of chatzitza. The inverted triangle will try to demonstrate, the conclusion the Gemara will try to draw will be the opposite, that it is chotzeitz. So let us turn back to the Gemara. The triangle, tenisuha, let us conclude the question with the following answer. Nosan es hamole beregon. Our Mishnah said that he places the full vessel, he places the full one into the empty one. My love, what does that mean? Hoshiv mizrok mole lusok. Lusoch Mizrach Rekon, that he placed the vessel that was full of blood into another vessel that was empty. So we would see from that that that's an acceptable way to conduct the sacrificial service, having one vessel within the other. And min b'mino eino chotzeitz. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not the explanation of the Mishnah, but rather it's as we said in our introductory remarks. The Mishnah really meant Ira Mizrok Mole Lesoich Mizrok Rekon, that he was pouring the blood from the vessel that was full into an empty one, and that was in attempt to mix the blood together. He was mixing the cow blood with the goat blood, as we have learned in our previous Shiurim. And Rashi explains this as well on the second narrow line, Loi Iro Mizrok Mole Laachar Sheiro Dam Hapar Ladam Hasoyer. After he had poured the cow blood into the goat blood, Choser Umaare Mizrok Mole, he would then pour back the vessel that is now full, Lesoich Mizrok Rekon, into the emptied vessel to create a thorough mixture. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, it doesn't serve as a source of concluding the issue of min bimino, because the Mishnah was talking about something else, pouring of blood back and forth. The Gemara asks, if that's the explanation you are giving for the Mishnah, but hotonole resha, did the resha not already spell that out? Iro dam hapar l'soich dam hasoyer. So what would the meaning of this quote of Nosan es hamole beregon mean if we already spoke about the pouring of blood from one vessel into the other? The Gemara answers, there's no contradiction or even any redundancy. The pouring back and forth that the Mishnah describes is kidei la'arvan yofe yofe. It's an attempt to mix them thoroughly well. So once again, our question remains, what is the din of Mizrok besoch Mizrok for Kabbalas Hadam? And trying to prove that or resolve that question from our Mishnah is of no value, because our Mishnah is not talking about one vessel into the other. The Gemara continues, Toshma, and as we said, we have an inverted triangle, which will then lead us to think that one vessel within the other would be a problem of Chatzitza. What does the source say? Hoya oimed al gabi kli, oi al gabi regel chaveroi. Puzzle. Maybe a word of introduction, and that is that when one is doing service in the Beis HaMikdash, one is without any footwear, he's barefoot on the floor, and that's what is expected. Otherwise, if someone is standing on something, so he is guilty of doing the avoda with a chatzitza. The foot has to be, the kohen's foot has to be directly on the stone floor of the azora. So this source says he was standing on a vessel, or he was standing on his friend's foot. And this is what we want to emphasize, the regel chavero. That would be the case of min bimino, the kohen's foot on another foot, foot on foot. And yet it says it's unfit. The avoda is posel. So that would show that min bimino is chotzeitz. The Gemara says that is not a good parallel to our case. Shiny regel, the case of a foot is different. Delomotzi mevatel lei, a person cannot nullify his friend's foot. Rashi says delo mevatel lei chavero es ragloi ad shiigmar avodoso. The fellow whose foot is directly on the ground does not nullify his foot until the avoda is finished. So as far as foot is concerned, so it would be a chatzitza, but that doesn't shed light on the issue of a vessel. A vessel could be, in your mind's eye, nullified to the other vessel, making it as if it's not there. And hence, it would not be a chatzitza. Iko di Amri, another version, hochi boi mine. Another version is, derech sherus b'kachol ein derech sherus b'kach. When you have a mizrok betoch mizrok of two vessels, one within the other, is that considered the normal form of service? Sherus means service. Service in the Beis HaMikdash, is it normal or not? Toshma, de Tana, de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. So we try to resolve the question by the following source. Es kol kli hashoris asher yishor subom bakodesh. This pasuk says in Midbar, Perek Dalid Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, on all the vessels, as kol kli hashoris, and the plural expression of kol kli hashoris gives the impression that we're talking about two vessels. And you have two vessels, as the source continues to say, shnei kelim v'sherus achas, two vessels in one service. So from this source, it would seem to say that that's considered a legitimate form of service. The Gemara continues with another question. Bo mine Rami bar chamo me rav chista. You notice that we've double underlined the name Rav Chista, indicating, showing that he is the one that has been presented with these questions, as we saw before as well. So here in this question, we have a title heading on the side, the Nosei Min B'She'eno Mino, Ha'im Chotzeitz. What about unlike substances? Would that present a Chatzitza problem or not? And, of course, we spoke before about tin foil or aluminum foil. That is an extreme case, because here we're going to see that the unlike substance that's lining the vessel happens to be something that can be penetrated. And maybe as a result of the absorption and penetration, it doesn't present a problem. So we continue with the Gemara. Rami Bar Chama asks Rav Chisda, Hiniach siv besoich hamizrok v'kibel boy es hadam mahu. Now a word about siv. If we look in the Rashi, siv hagodel soviv hadekel. It's a type of network of tree growth that grows around the trunk of a palm tree. And it wraps around the palm tree. If you have ever been exposed to a palm tree and you notice within the outer bark, you'll find this screen-like network of growth. And it's sieve. In fact, in English, there is a word that is sounds just like that, S-I-E-V-E, a sieve, which is used for separating flour from debris, let's say. So that is what this plant growth looks like. So it's Rashi continues, Siv hagodol soviv hadech v'nichra cholov soviv kemin lulovin begifanim v'hu rach v'sovik es adam. It's soft. It will absorb the blood v'adam yoytze mikol evorov v'eino choseitz kol kach. And the blood will go through this networking. If you line the vessel with the networking, the blood anyway will penetrate it and end up touching the inside lining of the vessel itself. Mihavi ki aygav nechatzitza lo. And that's the Gemara's question. Is this a chatzitza? Now, once again, if you had taken some aluminum foil and lined a Beis HaMikdash vessel with that, so that would be something that would clearly be a chatzitza, because the blood that fills the vessel will not have direct contact with the vessel. But in this case, the sieve is a screen-like network of plant substance, and hence, even if you line the vessel with this material, the blood has contact with the vessel. And let's read it in the Gemara. Hiniach sieve besocha mizrok v'kibel boyas adam mahu. If you lined the vessel with this network, the sieve substance, would that be a chatzitza? Min b'she'eno mino chotzeitz, oy eno chotzeitz. It's an unlike substance. Eino mino. It's a plant. The plant networking is not the metallic substance of the kli. So it's an unlike substance. Does it present a chatzitz, an interposition problem, or not? And the analysis though continues. Kevan de mechalchel lo chayit, since it penetrates, namely the blood penetrates the networking and does in fact touch the vessel, so maybe it's not a problem. Oh, Dilma, lo yishma, or maybe that doesn't make a difference and it is a chatzitza. Omar le, so Rav Chisda responds, and you'll note we have a number one, and then the next line you see a squiggle underline, Iko de Amri, two different ways that Rav Chisda responds. So number one, Tanina. Zoylef v'hoylech ad shemagia lasfog. This is a very, very terse quote. Hence, we look at the Rashi, and he gives us the background. Zoylef v'hoylech v'chulei. Reish demasis in hochi. The early section of this Tanaic source is as follows. It comes from Maseches Pora, the Masechta that deals with Pora Adumo, the ash from the red heifer that's mixed with water, and the ash is added to water that's drawn in a vessel, and the source reads as follows, and we're reading in the Rashi, HaMekadish B'Shokes, for the Sfog L'Socho. This is Shokes is a vessel that contains the water, and he's going to add ash to the water. And in the bottom of the vessel, there is a sfog. The word sfog looks, if you have a good imagination, it looks a little bit like the English word sponge. The N is missing, the Nun is missing, but sfog is, in fact, sponge material. So there was sponge material in this vessel. Mayim shebesfog psulim. The water that's in the sponge is unfit for the Pora Duma service, or the Pora Duma ritual. Ketzed yaseh, so what should a person do? So that if you, let us say, drew water for Pora Aduma purposes, using a vessel that contained a sponge in it. So that you have a vessel that's filled with water that you need for Pora Aduma. And the water that's in the sponge is not acceptable. In other words, you can't squeeze out the sponge and then use that water for Pora Aduma purification purposes. So the source says, what do you do? Zolech, zolef v'holech means you gradually pour out the water from the vessel that has the water in it with the sponge. However, you pour out the water slowly, ad shemagia l'sfog, until you get to where the sponge is. In other words, all the free water is poured out, and you're left with a vessel containing a sponge that's absorbed with water. Shokes he even chalula al sfas hamayon. The shokes is a hollowed stone at the edge of a stream, of a live spring. V'amayim nichnosin lo derechor shebedofna. And the water that we're interested in using for the paraduma enters it through a hole in the side of this vessel. Umashkin bo behemos umekachin bo efer chatos lesoch mayim chayim v'hi hakli. And as we said before, the Efer Chatos, the ash of the red heifer, is added to this water, and it is the vessel. Mayim shebesfog psulim. The water in the sponge is not acceptable. The Chaim El Keli Boinon. That's a quote from the Pasuk. Mayim Chaim El Keli. You need to have live spring water, fresh spring water that ends up directly in the vessel. And that's what Shmuel says. Shuhamayim noyim bekli. We want the water that's drawn from the spring to touch the vessel. Ketzer oseh. So what should he do? Kishibo litol esamayim v'lin mitzluchis shveres. When he's coming to take the water and put them in the tzluchis, which is another receptacle or shvoferes, zolef v'gomer es kol amayim asher ba shokes ad. She magia lesfog. He pours out the water from the shokes, the original vessel, into these other vessels until he gets to the sponge. And the word zolef is shofech ad hamatsui, you spill out until that which is absorbed in the sponge. Now here is the key thing. So we, up till now, we discussed, we have water of the that's drawn from a live spring, and it's drawn into a vessel, and the vessel has a sponge in it. Notice that on the one hand, we have a requirement that the water touches the vessel directly. On the other hand, you have the sponge in there. But we saw that the water was acceptable. All that was required is that you pour water out from the original vessel and up till the point of the sponge. Don't use the water that was absorbed in the sponge itself, but the rest of the water is okay. The sponge doesn't represent an interposition. Again, we're sounding a little repetitious, but we mentioned earlier that the water has to touch the vessel directly. Okay, so what? There was a sponge in there, but the sponge is highly absorbent and the water penetrates the sponge and touches the vessel. All that we object to is using the water that's absorbed in the sponge itself. And the same would apply to the vessel lined with the sieve material mentioned before. So what are we saying? We're using the water sponge example as an analogy to the blood sieve lined vessel. That is what Rav Chisda's response is. The Gemara, though, continues, second line from the bottom, and rejects this. Shiny maya, the klishi, mayim, water vis-a-vis the sponge, is different than the case of the blood with the sieve. Water is a very liquidy, with little viscosity associated with it. Hence, it easily penetrates the sponge. Not so in the case of the blood, which is a thicker substance. So the level of contact with the blood in a vessel lined with a foreign substance is not the same level of contact as water wine in a vessel that has in it a sponge. Iko the Amri, another version. Hachi Poshat Le. Thusly, Rav Chisda answered. Bedam kosher, a vessel that was lined with sieve and it was used to receive the blood, that's okay. However, bekoimetz posel. Kometz is a handful of a meal offering, and that's after drawn or taken from the bowl containing the entire meal offering, a handful is removed, let's say a handful of flour, and is then placed in a second service vessel. The halacha requires that the flour from the meal offering, when the handful of it is placed in the second service vessel, the flour lands directly into a vessel. And if that second vessel happens to be lined with sieve, that will be unfit. And the difference is quite obvious. The blood, relative to flour, blood is a liquid, it will penetrate and come into contact with the vessel, as opposed to a dry powder substance. If the vessel is lined with a foreign substance, even if it happens to be something like a sieve, so there you will have the chatzitza problem. We now continue on to Amud Beis with a new Mishnah, and we're continuing with the blood applications to the golden altar after the Kohen Gadol finished the applications in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and on the Parochus in the Heichal. He then walks away from the Parochus. He walks in an easterly direction. Behind the Mizbeach. And we just saw in the previous Mishnah that in anticipation of the Mizbeach blood applications, he mixes the cow blood with the goat blood. Of course, that was a machlokis tanoim, and our Mishnah represented the opinion that the bloods are mixed together in anticipation of the Mizbeach application. So we continue with the Mishnah. at the top of Omid Beis, Nun Ches Omid Beis, V'yotza El HaMizbeach Asher Lefnei Hashem. That's a posuk, posuk Yud Ches in Vayikro Tes Zayin. Ze Mizbeach Hazov. The reference to the Mizbeach that's Lefnei Hashem, that is the internal, the golden altar used for offering the daily incense. The outside altar, which is much more commonly used, and in fact the outside courtyard altar, the large Mizbeach, is associated most often with blood applications. Hence it's important in the case of Yom Kippur, we're dealing with the unusual service of blood application on the inside, internal, golden altar. And that's described as Lifnei Hashem. The courtyard, large sacrificial Mizbeach would not be described using the term Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means in front of the Almighty, meaning the more internal that you get, the more inside the Heichal, which is right next to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that could be described as Lifnei Hashem. The Mishnah continues, Hischil Mechate V'yored. Mechate is a word that has to do with the blood application. So he starts to apply the blood, Mechate V'yored, and he applies it in a descending fashion. That is just a very superficial explanation, but we look into the Rashi at the top. Hischil Mechate V'yored. This Tana is of the opinion, and Rashi now gets into a topic that the Gemara will deal with at length, that Hakofa Beregel, Kidoma Begemara. Hakofa means the circumlocution, walking around the Mizbeach, is the Hakofa, going around the Mizbeach. In other words, the blood had to be applied on the four corners of this Mizbeach. This Mizbeach, by the way, was very small. It measured only an amo by an amo, a half a meter by half a meter. It's a distance that you could conceivably reach across and reach all sides of it. However, there is an opinion, and that's what Rashi is reflecting now, that the Kohen Gadol will be walking around this rather small altar. Hakofa Beregel, Kidoma Begumar, V'chol Matonu Matona Hoysa Bekeren Shilafonav. And each blood application was done at the corner that he was facing at that moment. V'somuch Lo, each corner that was in front of him and the one next to it. V'tzorch Litein Milamalo Lamato. Now, blood, as you can easily realize, is a liquid, and he is essentially dipping his fingers into this bowl that holds the blood, and it's important to avoid soiling his garment or staining his garment with the blood. In order to accomplish the blood application, smearing it along the sides or the edges, the corners of the Mizbeach, it's important for his hand movement to be milamalo lamata, a downward movement. In other words, he would dip his fingers into the bowl, getting the blood onto his fingers, and then smearing it along the edge of the Mizbeach, moving his fingers from above downwards. Kihechi delo nisvasi money, so as to avoid his money means his clothing, nisvasi means getting stained with the blood. Shamizbeach kavo amosayim, the Mizbeach itself was two amos tall, approximately a meter in height. The e efshur litzadeid roshe etz ba'oisov Lemato, the loses hamatono bakeren shelamato lamala, and he can't invert his fingertips facing downwards and apply the blood at the corner, moving from down upwards. The al korchoi roshes boisav lamala, and he has to have his fingertips facing upwards. Ukshunosein beetzbo keneged chudo shel keren, and when he applies it with his finger opposite the or on the edge of the corner, the nosein matona aruka meshucha, and he applies it in a stretched out and a long stroke, im moshech mi lamato lamalo, if he does this with his fingertips facing upwards but moving from below upwards, the dam that's zav, the hadam zav l'soch beis yad k'tonis shelo. Just have to try to picture all of this with his fingertips are facing up, and it has blood, his liquid blood on it. If he were to move his fingers from a lower position upwards along the corner of the mizbeach, so the blood will roll down his sleeve. V'tzoch litein milamalo lamato, and he has to therefore apply from above downwards. Nokat loshon mechatev yored. The Mishnah uses this expression, mechatev yored. Mechate equals loshon yeridahi. It is a reference to going downwards. I'm reading Menachos, as the Gemara Menachos says, no se oilo mischate. In the context of more there, you can see that the word mischate is in contrast to oile, which means going up. Mischate means going down, descending. So we go back to our Mishnah. Mehechon hu maschil. From what exact point does he start the blood applications? So the Gemara answers, and the Gemara will give you the starting point and the progression. We have four corners to deal with. He starts Mikeren Mizrachis Tzvoinis. Next, Tzvoinis Ma'arovis. The Mizrachis Tzvoinis is northeastern corner. Tzvonis Maravas northwestern, Maravas Dromis southwestern, Dromis Mizrachis southeastern. We have on the side of our Gemara an aerial view of the Heichal. The directions are also on this picture, the top of the picture. This aerial view notes Marav, which is west. The bottom, you can see, you have Mizrach is noted, east. So, according to what we saw in the Mishnah, he's going to start from the northeastern corner. So you find east, and you find the north, which is to the right-hand side. That's where he'll start. That's northeast. The next stop, we said, was northwest, which would be a movement back to the direction of the Poroches and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now that note is important. He starts at a far away point, that was we call the northeastern corner, and then he moves back toward the Poroches. He, by the way, before this he was close to the Poroches, and he walked away, he walked in back of the Mizbeach, so to speak, and then moves from this northeastern point, he goes northwest, going back toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're going to get back to this issue later. The Mishnah continues, Mokom shumaschil bechatos al mizbeach achitzon, the beginning point when it comes to blood applications of a korban chatos on the outside mizbeach. Where does he begin on the outside Mizbeach? So it happens to be that he begins in the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And that beginning point, southeastern corner of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, happens to be Mishom hoyagoymer al mizbeach hapnimi. When it comes to the inside, the internal mizbeach, that is his ending point. So if you look at the four corners that were just mentioned, the last one, the fourth corner in the Mishnah, was southeast. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Lezer Omer ben Mekoymei Hoya Oymeid. Rabbi Lezer doesn't have him walking around the golden altar. He stands in one spot, Umechate, and does the blood application. The Alkulon Hoya Noisein Mi Lemato Lemalo. With regard to three of the four corners, he in fact does an upward stroke from below upwards, chutz mizu shehoisa lefonav, with the exception of the corner in front of which he is standing, shoyonoisen milamalo lemato, there, he had to do a downward stroke. If we look at Rashi, across from here, Rashi says, Rav Elazar Omer, lo haya makifa baraglov, he didn't walk around the Mizbeach by foot, sharei kulo eino elo amo al amo merubas, the whole size of the whole thing, the whole Mizbeach, was a mere amo by an amo, a square amo, v'kebang she'ein shloishis akronas smuchas lo, and since the other three corners are not next to him, yochol litein milamata lamala, he can do an upward motion without, since his hand is extended, so the fear of the blood dripping down his sleeve doesn't exist. So he can do an upward motion. The next Rashi says, Chutz mizu shehu oimei etzlo, with the exception of the corner of, next to which he is standing, shehi lefonav, shehef shelo letzadei roshetz bosov lamato, in such a case, he can't position his fingers with the tips facing downwards. Elo lamalo, they are facing upwards in that case. V'tzorach limshech hamatona milamalo lamato. There, he'll have to do the downward stroke. She'im moshcho milamato lamalo adam zav l'soich beis yad kutonto. Since it's close to where he is and his fingertips are facing upwards, he would have to if he did the upward movement, the blood would drip back to his sleeve of his kesoinus, of his kohen gadol garment. We continue in the Mishnah. Hizo al taharoi shel mizbech sheva pomim. That means after he finished the corner applications, he then did a sprinkling of the blood on the tiharo. Now the word tiharo, the Gemara will explain. And Rashi doesn't reveal its meaning right now, but we'll play along with that and not reveal it either. So he does the seven sprinklings on the tiharo of the Mizbeach. Ushiore hadam ha-yoshoifech al-yesoid ma-rovi shel Mizbeach ha-chitzon. And whatever remaining blood there was, it would be poured on the base of the external, the courtyard Mizbeach. On what side? On the western side of the external Mizbeach. And again, you can use the diagram that we have. You can see it's an aerial view, as we said. So you see the courtyard Mizbeach, the external Mizbeach, with the ramp leading up to it. And the western base is marked on the diagram where the Shirayim Apnimim would be poured. The Mishnah continues, V'shel Mizbeach HaChitzon, when dealing with other sacrifices, generally speaking, the remnant blood, the remaining blood after external sacrificial blood applications were performed, whatever remnant blood there was then, Hoya Shofech HaYisodromi, that was poured on the southern base of the Mizbeach. And you can see on the diagram, there's a note, Shirayim HaChitzonim. It could be noted, you can see this on the diagram, that the base, the Yesoid of the external Mizbeach, did not run around the Mizbeach completely. There was just an Amo on the southern side, and the western and northern sides had a complete base, and on the eastern side, one more Amo around it, as you can see. Continuing in the Mishnah, Elu v'Elu, the internal blood from the Yom Kippur sacrifices, and the external blood of other korbanos in general, Misarvin ba'amo, the blood would flow into the ditch that carried liquids out of the azora, and so they would mix in the amo in that ditch, v'yoytzin l'nachal kidron, and flow out into the Kidron Valley, which was outside the Temple Mount, v'nimkorin l'ganonim l'zevel, and the farmers, ganonim, people who raised vegetables, who lived out there, who had gardens and fields out there, would benefit from this blood, and they would pay for it. And zevel is fertilizer, umoalin bohen. That means that if they don't pay for it, they would be guilty of a rabbinic level of me'ilah. And this too will be the matter of discussion in the Gemara. As we turn now to the beginning of the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, Matnos Dam al Mizbech Azov Behechal. The Gemara will get into the details of the blood applications on the golden altar in the Hechal. Tonu Rabbonan, V'yotzo el HaMizbeach, Ma Talmud Lomar. The Pasuk says, and he goes out toward the Mizbeach, or outside of the Mizbeach. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Nechemya, Lefi Shemotzinu, since we have found regarding other types of sacrifices whose blood is sprinkled in the Heichal. Now that's not common, but there are specific sacrifices, and we've made reference to them in some previous Gemaras, whose blood is sprinkled in the Heichal. And the Braisa mentions Lefisha Matzin B'par HaBaal Kol HaMitzvahs. That's a cow offering in the event that the high court, the Sanhedrin, errs in a legal ruling. So a special korban is brought that's also known as Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Shekoyin Oimet Chutz LeMizbeach Umaze Al HaParoches B'Shah Shumaze. That the Kohen, when he sprinkles on the toward the direction of the curtain, in the case of the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, do you know where he's standing? He is standing east of the golden altar in the Heichal. So once again, when it comes to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, and that is a type of sacrifice that necessitates internal blood sprinklings. The blood is sprinkled in the direction of the Parochas, but where is the Kohen standing when he does that? He's standing east of the golden altar, so that the altar, in effect, is between him, the Kohen, and the curtain. Yochel Af Ze Kain, is that the case here as well in the Yom Kippur service? And of course, the pasuk that opened up this source, V'yotzo Mizbeach, was talking about the Yom Kippur service. And in the Yom Kippur service, there's also blood applications that are done toward the Paroches. Talmud Lomar, so the pasuk tells us, V'yotzo Mizbeach. He then, after he does the Paroches applications, only then does he walk outside of the golden altar, meaning east of the golden altar. So where was he standing when he was doing the applications toward the Paroches on Yom Kippur? Heichon hayo lefnim in HaMizbeach. So Yom Kippur, in contrast with the Par HaBaal Kol HaMitzvahs, or Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, in the case of Yom Kippur, when it came to the Paroches application, nothing was between the Kohen and the Paroches. Tanya Idoch. We quote another Tanaic source which opens with a posuk from Vayikra, Perek Dalid Posuk Zayin. And on the side of the Gemara, we have this quoted. This posuk is coming from the Par Kohen Moshiach. That's a special cow offering in the event that a Kohen Godol errs in a legal ruling. And the pasuk says, V'nosan ha-kohen min ha-par, al-karnois mizbach k'toris ha-samim, lefnei Hashem asher bo el moyed, v'es kol ha-dam yishpoich el yisoid, mizbach ha-oilo asher pesach oil moyed. So in this pasuk you see the term lefnei Hashem. Ma, the Gemara continues, Ma Talmud Lomar, what is the significance of Lifnei Hashem? Omar Rav Nechemya, Lefi Shemotzinu, Bepar V'Sosh Yom HaKippurim. We found in the Yom Kippur cow and goat offerings, Shekoyin Oimei Lifnim Nazbeach, the Kohen stands within, from the inside of the Mizbeach. Now inside means west of the Mizbeach, namely nothing between him and the curtain, umaze al poroches v'shal shumaze, and then he sprinkles in the direction of the poroches curtain without anything between him, without the Mizbeach being there. The Mizbeach is in back of the Kohen at that point on Yom Kippur. Yochol afzeh king, is that so also with the par Kohen Moshiach, which is the sacrifice brought in the event that a Kohen Gadol renders an incorrect legal ruling? Talmud loimar, so the Pasuk says, in with regard to the par Kohen Moshiach, in Perek Dalid of Vayikra, Mizbach Ketores Asamim Lifnei Hashem Asher Be'oil Moed. And we darshan, Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem, the Mizbeach is in front of the Almighty, so to speak, means it's the Mizbeach which is closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, closer to the Poroches, on the other side of which was the Oron, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'ein Kohen Lifnei Hashem, the Kohen is not there. The Kohen is east of the Mizbeach. HaKetzad, so how is it in the case of the Par Kohen Moshiach? Oymed Chutz LaMizbeach Umazeh, he stands on the outside of the Mizbeach, meaning he stands east of the Mizbeach, with the Mizbeach between him and the Paroches, and in that fashion he does the blood applications toward the Paroches. Once again, in the case of the Par Kohen Moshiach. So all in all, to summarize, it's a very simple point, it's a very simple difference. When it comes to the Yom Kippur Paroches applications, the Kohen is standing west of the golden altar, namely nothing between Kohen Gadol and the Paroches. When it comes to Par HaBoah Kol HaMitzvos or the Par Kohen Moshiach, these other kinds of sacrifices, non-Yom Kippur sacrifices, who happen to have internal blood applications, in that case, the Mizbeach is standing between the Kohen and the Paroches. Hischil, Mechate, V'yorei, V'chulei, that is a quote from the Mishnah, Tono Rabbonon, Hischil, Mechate, V'yorei. So the Mishnah mentioned, he starts a blood application in a downward stroke on the corner of the altar. Mehechon hu mascho, yamas, from where did he begin? Mikeren, Mizrochis, Droimis. Now note, by the way, that this opinion, in this source, by the way, there are two opinions, this beginning point is different than the beginning point you saw in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, on the second line from the top, it said, Maschil Mikeren Mizrochis Sfoinis, northeast. This has him beginning, Mizrochis Droimis, southeastern corner. They have in common that he's starting from the eastern edge of the Mizbeach, the further away side of the Mizbeach. That is a common point. However, this opinion has him starting from the southeastern corner, and we'll see as the source goes on, Rabbi Yosef Glimi will tell you he starts from the northeastern corner like we saw in the Mishnah. In the meantime, though, let's start at the southeastern corner. And by the way, as you learn these Gemaras, you can keep your finger at the same time on the diagram. So he starts at the southeastern corner. Next stop, Droimis Maravis, southwestern corner. He's now moving toward the Kodesh HaKadosh, toward the Paroches. Maravis Tzvoinis, northwestern, and he's that's the third corner, is northwest, and Tzvonis Mizrochis, last stop, northeast. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That is Rabbi Akiva's approach. So that, according to Rabbi Akiva, as the Kohen Gadol is facing the Mizbeach, he, in effect, is moving in a, we'll call it a left, or counterclockwise, or actually clockwise motion. But as he's facing the Mizbeach, he's moving, we'll say he's moving left. It's like his left hand is guiding him around. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer, he starts Mikeren Mizrochis Sfonis, he starts from the northeastern corner. Sfoinis Maravis, the next stop is northwest. Here he's going counterclockwise. As he's facing the Mizbeach, so his right hand would be guiding him around. So we call that a right motion. The third stop, Maravis Droimus, southwest, and Droimus Mizrachis, southeast. Mokoim Shurab Yossi Aglili Maschil. So where did he begin? He started from Mizrach Hasfonis, that means northeast. Rabbi Yossi Aglili began at northeast. Shom Rabbi Akiva Posek. Northeast is the last stop for Rabbi Akiva. And all of this is very clear if you are working along with the diagram. Mokom Rabbi Akiva Maschil, Shom Rabbi Yossi Aglili Posek. Rabbi Akiva's beginning point, and where was that? Southeast. Southeast, Rabbi Akiva's beginning point was, in fact, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's ending point. De Kule Almo Miho. Everyone, however, agrees. And when you look at Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, they both agree. Be'ahu keren depoga bereisha loy ovid. When he finished, the Kodesh HaGadoshim, he did the Poroches sprinklings. Which edge of the Mizbech is closest to the Kohen Gadol when he's doing the Poroches sprinklings? Remember, on Yom Kippur, when he's doing the Poroches applications, there's nothing between the Kohen and the Poroches. We might say that the Mizbech was in back of the Kohen Gadol. So which edge of the Mizbech was closest to him at that point? The western edge. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili agree that the beginning application on the altar, of the blood application on the golden altar, both agree there's no Western representation as far as the first application is concerned. Rabbi Akiva has him starting southeast, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili has him starting south or northeast, but both of them, you'll notice there's east, no west, as far as beginning point. Just to review, Rabbi Akiva has him starting southeast, Rabbi Yossi Aglili has him starting northeast. My taimo, why is that? Omar Shmuel, the Omar Krah. Shmuel says, based on the Pasuk, it says, V'yotza el hamizbeach. And we learn from that, Ad denofik mikule mizbeach. He's got to leave the Mizbeach. Before he starts blood applications on the Mizbeach, he's got to leave it. Well, what does that mean? So he's got to walk easterly toward the exit point of the Heichal. So he walks easterly. He's then walking, leaving the Mizbeach behind him, so to speak. Walking away from the Mizbeach, walking out of the Heichal. So that's V'yotzel HaMizbeach. That's what that implies. He's got to walk away from the Mizbeach. The Gemara asks, regarding Rabbi Akiva, and you'll notice this question is a long question. Ula Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, use the chart. It's a little crowded, I know, but try to find where it says Rabbi Akiva Maschil. Rabbi Akiva has you starting from the southeastern corner of the golden altar. You are the Kohen Gadol and you're facing the altar. Your next move is to hit the southwestern corner. In which direction are you moving? Well, you're moving in a left movement. And in other words, as you're facing the Mizbeach, you're following the direction of your left hand. The Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Akiva nakif derech yamin. Why doesn't he follow a right movement right, follow his right hand, and the next stop would have been northeast. Not as Rabbi Akiva moves. He goes from southeast, then he reaches southwest. That is a left move. Lema b'derami bar Yecheskel komifligi. Should we say that the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi Aglieli and Rabbi Akiva is whether or not to accept Rami bar Yecheskel's rule? And before we go too much further, on the side of the Gemara, we have our Nosei Mivne heading where we feature a diamond. These are hatsa'os, these are suggestions, lahasbir machloikis tanim b'inyan seder matnas dam al mizbeach hapnimi. We're trying to explain the machlokis tanoim regarding the order of these corners upon which the blood is applied. So maybe the point of machlokis between Rabbi Kiva, who has him moving left, and Rabbi Yisrael, who has him moving right, is whether or not to accept Rami bar Yecheskel, the Amar Rami bar Yecheskel. He makes a point, and you'll notice that we have quotation marks. It takes about four lines for him to develop his point. Rami bar Yecheskel describes a pool that held water in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. It was known as the Yam She'asa Shlomo. Yam is a, for our purposes, a pool that was made by Shlomo Melech. And it was set upon 12 cow images, 12 cow statues. So you have a pool sitting on the back of the cows, 12 of them, 3 cows in each direction of north, south, east, and west. And how does the Pasuk describe them? And here we're going to be focusing on order. So this, the Rami bar Yecheskel tells us, Yam Shosu Shlomo, Oimed al Shnei Moser Boker. This tank or this pool stood on the backs of 12 cows. Shloisha Poinim Tzvona. 3 cows were facing north. So if you, for example, are in the north right now, and you are facing the pool, so you're looking head on to 3 cows that are on the northern side of this pool. Ushloisha ponim yoma. Yoma means west. So you've gone from the north to the west. That movement, if you are on the northern side of this pool facing the north, in other words, you're basically facing south and you want to move west, in what direction are you moving if you're going to go westerly? You're going to be turning right. Next, you're now in the west facing the pool. And what's the next direction that's mentioned? Ushloisha ponim negbo. Negbo means south. So you were in the west, and now you're moving to the south. And you're going to face the pool on its southern side. And what's the next stop? You have no choice at this point. Ushloisha ponim mizracha. You were standing in the south facing the pool. And the fourth stop is, in the posuk, is the east. Once again, you are continuing in a right movement. Vayom Alehem Milamalo, and this pool was on their backs. V'chol Achoreim Beisop, and their posteriors were facing inside. Ha Lamadato. From this you see Shekopina Shatapoina, all turns that you make when you have to make a turn. Lo Yu Ela Derech Yamin. You should turn in a right direction. Lemizrach. The term Lemizrach we have in brackets because that is what was common, even though that's not what is the, we're not saying that that is the rule, but it was common when you when you were doing blood application on the external courtyard altar, you would go up the ramp. That was, you would go up the ramp, which represented a journey from the southern edge of the Mizbeach up the ramp, and you're walking northerly, and the first you would make a right turn when you reach the ledge of the Mizbeach, the Sovev. You would make a right turn to apply the first blood application in a Korban Chatos. What would the right turn be if you were going, you were walking in a northerly direction? Your right turn would be an easterly turn. That's why the term Lemizroch appears. That's the common case. But the rule is that all turns that you make, you should be turning in a right direction. So that's Rami Bar Yecheskel's rule. And of course, when we speak about right turn, so we're assuming right now we're talking about in the service of the Beis Hamikdash and blood applications, which is our topic. So Rami Bar Yecheskel learns from the positioning of the cows in the case of the Yamsha also Shlomo that one is to make a right turn, because that is the fashion in which the directions were presented. More Islay, the Rami Bar Yecheskel would stand to reason then that Rav Yossi Aglili, who started he started northeast, and as you were facing the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and you started northeast, in the northeastern corner, and your next application was northwest, you were moving right. So Rab Yossi Haglili would seem to accept Rami Bar Yecheskel, umor less lay the Rami Bar Yecheskel, Rabbi Kiva, who had the claim starting southeast, and while facing the Mizbeach, and you're in the southeast, and your next stop was southwest, you were moving in a left direction. So it would stand to say that Rabbi Kiva does not hold by Rami Bar Yecheskel. The Gemara says, "Loi, that's not the analysis of this machlokes tanoim, the kulei alma islu de Rami Bar Yecheskel. In principle, everyone accepts Rami Bar Yecheskel, but here there's an overriding consideration. V'hacha v'ha komifligi. Here, with regard to the golden altar corner, four corner blood application, the following is the basis of the machlokes. Mor sovar yalfinon." Pnim michutz, u'mosavar lo yalfinon pnim michutz. Michutz means in the courtyard. In the courtyard, everyone agrees that you turn right. As we described before, you go up the ramp. Your first corner will be the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, demanding a right turn at the top of the ramp. However, the question is, do I learn principles of directions from that which takes place in the courtyard? So at this stage, in presenting the analysis, we're saying that itself is the point of controversy. That Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Yalfinon Pnim Michutz. I learn, Pnim means inside, namely the Mizbeach Azov, from Michutz, from that which we saw in the courtyard, which actually, even to be more accurate, maybe we should say we saw that by the Yam She'osa Shlomo, that pool that stood in the courtyard. Umor Sovar, Rabbi Kiva says, Lo Yalfino, Pinim Michutz, I don't learn that which is described in the courtyard and have that refer to the inside, the internal Mizbeach. You can see that we have a bracketed section, and the note that accompanies this on the side, the starred note, Achrei Sograyim, after the brackets, which will take us to Nun Tes Omet Aleph, HaGemora Mamshicha B'Sidra Shel B'Mai Komifligi. The Gemara will come back to the series of suggestions of the series of explanations or suggested explanations of this machlokes tanoim. We're offering different suggestions to explain what are they arguing about. So our first suggestion was Rami Bar Yecheskel. Is there ever an inyan? Do you ever have to turn right? The second stage is basically yes. There's a general agreement you have to turn right, but that's when it comes to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. But within the Heichal, that is not universally accepted. The note continues. Besocha Sograim Agmor Mevareres. Lomer Rabbi Kiva Bochar Dafke B'Seder Azeh. Okay, once Rabbi Kiva says that I'm not bound when it comes to the Heichal to that which takes place in the Azora, so nevertheless, why does Rabbi Kiva choose specifically the directions that he does choose? As far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, all options should have been open. Why does he choose what he does? Let's now look at this in the brackets. Rabbi Kiva, Nehi Delo Yolef Pnim, because granted that he doesn't learn Pnim, that which takes place inside by the golden altar, from the outside, from that which was described in the courtyard. Nevertheless, I boy hochi navid. If he wanted to, he could do this way, he could do that way. The question simply is, why does he choose what he says? Rabbi Akiva has him starting from southeast, and he said specifically, southwest is the next stop. Why? Omar loch Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva answers, Medina, in truth, bahu keren de poga beresha, Bahu Ovid Beresha. In principle, the first corner that he encounters is the first one upon which the blood application should take place. Now, as far as what is the first corner, well, if you make the assumption that the first corner is the southwestern corner. And why would that be? So if you look on the diagram, you'll notice there was a double poroches, and of course this is all the subject of a machlokes tanoim, but let's make the assumption right now that according to Rabbi Kiva there was a double poroches, and the opening into the Heichal was on the southern along the southern wall, and you can see that this is an aerial view. You can see that in the diagram. So when he was leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, entering the Heichal portion, he was entering the Heichal at the southern edge, the corner of the Mizbech closest to him at that point would have been the southwestern corner. That corner is the one upon which the first blood application should have taken place. It's true that it doesn't. We had a pusuk before, but that, technically speaking, should have been the first corner. And why should that have been the first corner? The Gemara continues three lines from the bottom. The Omar Reish Lakish Ein Mavirin Al Hamitzvos. One is not to pass over the chance to do a mitzvah. So if he's going to be doing mizbeach blood applications, he should do it at the first moment, the first opportunity, and that would be that particular corner. So why does he not do it over there? Because the Torah demanded of him, he's got to leave the mizbeach. He's got to go east of the mizbeach. Adinofik means until he leaves mikulim, the entire mizbeach. So that positions him where? East of the Mizbeach. Well, if he's then moved away from that first corner, so the next best choice, so to speak, it is the best choice because the Pasuk says V'yotzel Mizbeach, so that places him at the southeastern corner. So he has to start at the southeastern corner. So now that he's fulfilled the Viyotzel Mizbeach requirement and done the southeastern corner, Hadar Osila Hu Karen the Ichayev Lemesa Bereshin. Now he goes back to the corner that he should have done the first application, namely southwest. And as a result of these considerations, he has to be moving in the left direction. Namely, he starts southeast, and he's facing the Mizbeach when he's doing this. He follows his left hand, and the next corner that he would reach is the southwestern corner. And that corner, why there? Because that is that really was the first corner that he should have applied the blood based on Rabbi Reish Lakish's concept of Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvahs. Over here, though, there was a specific requirement of V'yotza Ela Mizbeach, so he accomplishes the V'yotza Mizbeach south. That puts him at southeast, and then he goes back to the Ein Mavir Ala Mitzvahs corner southwest, which in the final analysis is a left movement. We continue at the top of Nun Tes Amar Aleph. The Iboya Seima, another suggestion, another approach is Is Svira Lon Hakofa Beregel. If you would hold that you walk around the Mizbeach, the Kuliyama Lo Pligi the Alfinon Pnim Michutz, then everyone would agree that I learn the Hechal from that which we described in the Azorah. And as such, everyone would agree that you walk in a right direction. But here, this is the very point of controversy. Mor sovar hakofa biyad. Rabbi Kiva holds that the movement around the Mizbeach was not by walking, but it was by stretching out your arm. The Kohen Gadol would stretch out his arm, reaching the four corners. Umor Sova Rabbi Yosei holds Hakofa Beregel, and hence he said, move in a right direction. V'iboyaseima, another approach is Dekulei Alma Hakofa Beyad. Everyone will agree that everyone, meaning Rabbi Yosei Glili and Rabbi Kiva, will both agree that he is going to go around the Mizbeach, but only as far as his arm is concerned. No walking around. V'hocha Beha komiflugi, and here the machlokus is as follows: Mor sovri alfinun yad meregel. Rabbi Yosi Eligli would say that I'm going to learn the idea of an arm movement around from the way we would have practiced had I been required to walk around, and that would be in a right direction. Mor sovri lo alfinun, and Rabbi Kiva will say I don't learn the way I move my arm from the way I would have had I walked around. The Gemara asks, V'sover Rabbi Yosi Aglili Hakofa B'yad? Can you say, as we just said now, that everyone will agree that Hakofa is B'yad, including Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Is that really so? V'ha midik toni seifa? Is it not so that from the fact that in our Mishnah, the Seifa of our Mishnah had Rabbi Elazar Omer, the Mekoimoi Hoya Omeid. And by the way, if you need to find where this is a quote from, you can use the arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see that it points back to the upper part of Nun Ches Omid Beis, fourth line of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Elazar said that he stands in his spot. In other words, Rabbi Elazar clearly is of the opinion Hakofa Biyad. Michlal, that would infer from this, you can infer the Tanakama lo Sfira le. The Tanakama, the first opinion, doesn't agree with that. It's only Rabbi Elazar that's saying he stands in place and moves around with his arm. He doesn't walk around. The Tanakama doesn't agree with that. And who is the Tanakama? We pointed this out earlier. The Tanakama is Rabbi Yosi Haglili. And how do I know that the Tanakama is Rabbi Yosi Haglili? Because in the Mishnah, we saw the beginning of the beginning was Mizrachis Sfonis, who said Mizrachis Sfonis as the beginning point. That was Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So to say that everyone, meaning Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili, hold Hakofa Biyad, that is not reasonable. Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds Hakofa Beregel. Elo machvarto kedeshaninon meikora machvarto means it's more likely, literally it's cleaner, it's whiter, it's better to explain as we did earlier. Meikora means at the beginning. Mor sovah hakofa biyad. Rabbi Kiva holds the in the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Rabbi Kiva takes the position of hakofa biyad, the arm movement around the mizbeach, and umor sovar and Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds Hakofa Beregel. Ubeha Komiflagi. And the following is the analysis of their machlokes. Mor sovar soviv de mizbeach pnimi kisoviv de mizbeach achitzon. Rabbi Yossi Haglili says that when you go around, the word soviv appears in the psukim. The Rashi quotes the pasuk on in the narrow, the upper part of the narrow line. Soviv mizbeach pnimi. Rashi says, "Dichtiv be al karnos mizbeach soviv." So that soviv, which means around, regarding the internal mizbeach, is learned from is words like the soviv of the mizbeach achitzon. Now, the mizbeach achitzon was, of course, a very large structure. He would walk around that by foot. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who has him walking around the Mizbeach HaPinimi, that's because he walks around the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Umor Sovar, and Rabbi Akiva, who holds that he doesn't walk around the Mizbeach HaPinimi, and that's because the Kule Mizbeach Pnimi, the Mokim Chado Keren de Mizbeach HaChitzon Koi. This small Mizbeach HaPnimi was in fact the same size by as far as length width dimensions as one corner of the external Mizbeach. And the external Mizbeach, the courtyard Mizbeach, had four blocks, cubes at the top of it, and each one measured an amo by an amo, the same dimensions as the entire length width of the internal mizbeach. So it's the machlokis between Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Kiva, where Rabbi Yossi Haglili says hakofa beregel, because the concept of soviv that you see by the mizbeach mimi is derived from the concept of soviv that you find by the mizbeach achitzon, which was hakofa beregel. You had to walk around it. Rabbi Kiva doesn't see that comparison, but rather he looks at the dimensions of the Mizbeach HaPnimi being no greater than one corner of the external Mizbeach. And for there was the idea of walking around one corner doesn't exist. You walk around the entire external Mizbeach, but the internal Mizbeach, as it was, and it measured only one amma by an amma, one amma was the equivalent of a single corner of the courtyard Mizbeach. Hence, no need for walking around that internal golden altar that stood in the Heichal. The Gemara continues. Tanya, we have a very interesting Tanaic source. Omar Rebbe Yishmael, Shnei Kohanim Gedolim Nishtairu Bamikdash. It seems that this is a source alluding to a time after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So we're two Kohanim Gedolim that lived at that time. Ze Oimer Biyodi Hakafti. One testifies that I did the golden altar blood applications by an arm movement around the Mizbeach, and the other Kohen Gadol testifies, I walked around it. And each one gave an explanation for his testimony. Soviv de Mizbeach Pnimi Kesoviv de Mizbeach Chitzon, just like the analysis we saw a moment ago, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's the analysis given for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that we derive the concept of Soviv that you see written in the context of the internal golden Mizbeach blood applications from the Soviv that took place, the going around the external courtyard Mizbeach, which was a surrounding or walking around by foot. V'zenoi sintam l'dvorov, and the Kohen Godol that said I was makif biyad, explains kule Mizbeach nimi, the entire golden internal altar, b'mokom chado keren d'chitzon koi, it occupied the same amount of space as one corner of the courtyard external Mizbeach. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.